You're listening to the Closing Market Report for this Thursday afternoon. It is the 13th day of March. On the phone line with us to take us through the marketplace this afternoon, Dan Zwicker at CGB Enterprises in Mandeville, Louisiana. Good afternoon to you, Dan. I have been out of the marketplace for a couple of days, and I'm wondering just exactly what's been happening and how the markets might continue to react. Can you give me any indications, please?
This week has been the explosion in the wheat market. The wheat market showed a pretty good surge here in the first half of the week. Now, today we did give back 10 cents or so of that, which is probably somewhat in line with the correctional decline. The only worry, though, it did come at the expense of a reversal down because we did make higher highs in the overnight session. So we did get what we would call as a reversal down. Now, the thing that we have been experiencing a lot of reversal ups and reversal down in all three commodities basically over the past month or two. For the most part, they haven't really had much traction. They would show follow through maybe for a day or two, and then the brakes was put on. So we'll have to see whether or not the reversal down in wheat is something more meaningful, or if it was just part of people wanting to take profits after a good surge up in the market this week. I'm more inclined to think it's a lot of it is profit taking. The market as a whole has been very choppy. Of course, you know, soybeans had a hard down yesterday. They gap lower down. Now today they had a reasonable day to the upside, but they didn't finish up toward their highs because they sold off in the last 15 minutes with wheat and corn. So tomorrow will be important, but the market is you know, several fronts is confusing. The Ukraine situation, you know, one wire story will say that Russian troops are building up along the Ukraine border, and then you'll hear another wire story saying that they think things are going to work out and supplies out of the Ukraine is going to run smoothly. So that's jerking things around. Worries about that March 31st report, because last March report was terribly bearish, so that brings back a lot of memories that the March report could totally kill a market. And then, you know, nobody's going to go to the field up north anytime soon. It looks like April is the earliest that we're going to get to the field. So we're starting to maybe worry a little bit about spring planting, but nothing to any great extent.
When you look at this soybeans and the March and the November contracts, because the March, of course, has the gap in it. The November does not. And if you go back over time and think about the way things have changed as the South American bean crop has come in, usually there's a point at which we switch over to the new crop contracts as the lead in the marketplace. That happens a little later, I think, now than it used to, because of the crop that's coming out of South America. So old crop stays maybe in the driver's seat. But can you help me understand which one of those contracts is more important at this point and when the switch usually takes place?
Oh, Mike, you still have to stay with the front end. We're still in March. If the trade moves to November, that's going to be more in the July time frame. The front end months, I mean, the even though a lot of the China sales in today's report was in the new crop, we still have an oversale in the old crop. So the market is bracing, I think, for some sales cancellations because at some point in time we're going to have to, unless USDA finds 60, 70 million bushels like they did last year, then that would ease some concerns. But no, I think old crop is still where the action's at least over the next 60 days. And, of course, the March report will have a lot to say with it. If USDA can't find any additional beans, and maybe they even lose some beans, I think that would be very explosive to the old crop contracts for one more surge to the upside to try to get the sales cancellations going. And once they get them going, then they'll unwind that bull spread. But the thing that we got to keep in mind here as we go toward the end of March, we're not only going into a big government report, we are going into an end of the quarter, end of the month, and since there's so much of this open interest is fund-related, index fund or traditional fund-related, you have to, a lot of times the market gets real choppy and skittish because what we're seeing is profit-taking for those quarterly reports. So I think that has a lot to do with some of this choppiness we're seeing in the marketplace. It's just coming a little earlier because this March report is so important to the overall direction of the market during April, May, and June.
If the funds are the buyers, who have been the sellers?
Well, commercials and South Americans. South Americans have been the sellers, probably more so in the wheat market. Commercials are short, basically from buying soybeans from the U.S. farmer, but they're probably the shorts in the market. Funds are long. Corn market, now that's same thing. Commercials, remember when commercials buy corn from the farmer, they have to hedge it, so the elevators probably hold the hedges. Your processing companies may have a little different type of positions, but in the same way with your exporters may carry a little different position, but they're mostly hedged up and working the margins is what the commercial grain trade does.
So let me ask you this one. So in the corn market, we understand that those are hedges for the commercials because they've been buying corn, but they're simply taking a position in the soybean market, is that right?
Well, the only people that would take the elevator, by law, technically should be hedged.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, right.
But now when you get into end users such as big feedlots or big processing companies or whatnot, they're users of grain, and they have to have so many bushels coming into the market each day for that feedlot, for that processor, for that ethanol plant. Now, those guys could very well have some longs in place. I wouldn't necessarily say that wouldn't be the case because they're users of grain, so they're they got to make sure that they've got supplies coming in to keep in their plants and their feedlots and everything working. So that could be a little they could be long some. But your exporters are basically going to be a hedge type position. They're maybe short a boatload of beans and maybe don't have inventory, the cash inventory at hand, but they may be short several boatloads of corn or soybeans for summer delivery. They don't have the actual possession of the cash inventory yet. They're waiting on the farmer maybe to let loose of some cash inventory as we go down the road. Probably when the snow melts up north, we're going to get some cash movement at some point in time. May have to wait till June, but we know that cash movement is going to come to town. So that's what's expected to fill a lot of these orders in the export market this summer. The exporters are basically short summer months. They probably don't have the cash inventory, but they're waiting on the farmer to sell them the inventory.
Hey, thanks so much. We appreciate it.
Very well.
That's Dan Zwicker. He's with CGB Enterprises out of Mandeville, Louisiana.